Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's a level of mental toughness, mental and emotional toughness that I just thought this team lacked. That's where I look at leadership. That's why I call it the leadership. Like, who's going to be the leader to get people locked into where they're supposed to be on a consistent basis? And we want it to be Fox. We talk about Fox was fantastic last night. Fantastic. Like, he was a wizard with the way he was handling and weaving through the defense and all this other stuff. And it was almost, for me, it was almost like a microcosm of the frustrations with him. Right? Because you watch him play and he's getting buckets. He's 13 to 16. You know, he's got 33 points. He's killing. They can't guard him or whatever. And then if for me, at least, you sit back and you think about it, he's like, damn, he was killing. He looked good out there. 16 shot attempts. What? They couldn't guard you. I want 26 shot attempts. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And his 16 shot attempts, he had to hustle to get there. Mm-hmm. I think he had like 7 or 8 in the fourth quarter. And it's like, oh man, I need you to like to do this. But
6 or 7 in the fourth, by the way.
Yeah, like killing. And it's like he had to hustle to get to 16 shot attempts.
Well, remember Malik was sitting at the line too. Yeah. In the fourth.
Yeah. But to say that though, he had what, 9 shot attempts? As much as he was killing all game long, he shot the ball 9 times in the first 3 quarters.
So that would have put him at 7 of 9 through the first 3 quarters.
Dog, I need. I don't know what that first number going to be, but I need 19 FGAs going into the fourth quarter the way that you had it going last night. But that's just not the way he sees it. And I said the other day when we were doing the Mike Brown firing show,
Is that what it's called
now? Firing show. Is you need somebody, I said better as far as like a basketball player, and maybe that's still true, but I do think you need somebody that's the leader that we want De'Aaron to be all the time, and that somebody could be Doug Christie. It's not that De'Aaron is never that leader. I feel like in the last 3 games, I've seen communication. Even in a Detroit game, he was talking. Like, it's different than what we're maybe used to and what we want to see. But he's communicating with these guys. He's directing things around there, both defensively and offensively. But it was just something missing. And I feel like Doug Christie is the guy that kind of provides what's missing a little bit when you talk about leadership for this team.
916-909-1320. Let's get our man TC in here. TC, what's going on, baby?
Yes, sir. Happy New Year's to my 2 brothers, man. What's up?
TC, Happy New Year's, my guy.
Oh, man, just vibing. Hey, I want to get in real quick. So, first and foremost, utmost respect for Mike and all that, right? Love you, Mike. You know, you're going to move on and be successful like you was before you even came here, right? It happens sometimes like that, Kings fans. You got to build somebody up and get them strong. Mike built us up as a team and got us where we needed to be, and Doug going to finish it off. Sometimes it be like that. Just like Mike got his being team one, his special season, this is Doug time now. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to close the chapter on that. I know it's not easy, y'all, but we're going to close the chapter and we're going to move forward and support these dudes with love and embrace, just like Doug talking about. Doug is solid, Kenny. I know what you're talking about, right? And I believe the locker room probably was, you know, thinking about that. Like, you know, this is cartoonish. You throwing people under the bus. You DMPs. You talking about we need help. But you ain't giving all my guys time to run. Keon and these other dudes to work through they problems and all that on the court. So that could have played. We ain't going to go back and forth because we did enough of that, right? We trying to, you know, get positive and move forward with this situation. So that's how I feel like that. And I feel like Doug is that type of dude, the right dude to be here. And he's a leader of men, Kenny. What we've been asking from Shanahan, right? Be a leader of men. Doug is a true leader of men. So those go hand in hand. I know it sounds like I'm jumping, you know, I'm jumping around, I'm taking a shot. But I'm
I hear you. Honest. Keep working.
He ain't. Doug is, though.
Okay. Thank you, CC.
I mean, could the 49ers use Doug Christie? Enough people are asking.
It's a good point. Oh,
man, I don't know if people are asking this question.
Good point. I've seen some.
So just want this to be clear. Mike never publicly said we don't have enough.
No.
He never said we need more. He never insinuated any. I don't know why that's out there or why like that's getting repeated. That Mike never said. Now, what he said to Monty, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. What he said at his press conferences, what did he said at his media availability, he never said that.
No, but his actions.
He even directed, you got to talk to Monty and Wes about that.
His actions for the last year and a half.
So the other stuff that TC said is perfectly fair in that, like, you had Keon do all of this work last year, and now you're all over the place with his minutes. You buried Kevin 2 years ago. And it's like, all right, some of that's got to fall on you. Mm-hmm. But he never said we need more or we don't have
more. Never said that. Never publicly said that at any type of. The only person that said that was De'Aaron on Draymond's podcast. And he said something similar
after the Lakers game.
He said something like we're too small. He didn't say we don't have enough. He said, you know, we're too small. That's one of our issues or whatever. So Mike never.
Is that four straight losses to the Lakers not as funny as it was?
Damn. Well, like I did say, though, you lost four straight, and Sabonis lost four straight to Anthony Davis this year. Still well over 500. That's how much AD was getting his ass beat by Sabonis.
That's a true story.
But, yeah, man, I do think Mike Brown is a good coach. I don't know if he's a good head coach. I think he's a good basketball mind. He understands the game. But I don't know if he's a good head coach. I mean, this is, what, the fourth time he's been fired now?
Third? Oh, well, yeah, I guess he got fired by the Cavs twice. Yeah. Which a job he never should have taken.
That's like, we like Mike. We rock with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it hits
Mike
a
has
different.
A win percentage of 599. That's his win percentage.
This may not be a perfect comparison, but we like Mike and we rock with him.
Mike finished one season under 500, and it was that very ill-fated return to Cleveland where he won 33 games, which is probably 31 more than that team had any business winning.
Mm. Well,
it's hard for me to believe he's not a good head coach, but I don't know. He got fired. You know, he got fired 5 games into his second season with the Lakers. He got fired, and I refuse to hold this against him after 1 year with Cleveland, and then he got fired 31 games into his third season with Sacramento. So his longest run was the 5-year run to start his career with Cleveland, where he ran 50, 50, 45, 66, and 61.
This isn't exactly apples to apples, but I'll give you a quick example. What do people say about North Turner?
Good offensive mind.
Not a
great coordinator.
Not a head coach. And I'm looking at his stats. I think he's got like two or three. He was a head coach.
The Chargers for his longest run.
Yeah, he was a head coach a lot longer than I realized, and a lot more years than I realized. But it says 15 seasons as a head coach. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of the 15 seasons he was under 500 as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many years did you say? 15?
15.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things. I don't know if it's fair to Norv Turner. I know it's not fair to Mike Brown because Mike Brown is a good basketball mind.
Mm-hmm.
But part of also being a head coach is your record. Some of it is like just having people believe
relationships.
In you.
Yeah,
you know, and for whatever reason, fair or not fair, like he's had those those instances. Like, that's
so that's why I point out, 5 games into your second season with LA, 1 year Cleveland, scratch that, but 31 games into your third year, right after your extension with Sacramento. Wow. There's, again, we talked about a disconnect between Mike and the roster, the players. There might be a disconnect between Mike and all players.
Hey, you brought it up the other day when we were talking about this and securing Monty's firing. That's his new name. But no,
well, he hasn't missed too much, so that's concerning.
but people, you know, want to talk about this. There was a guy who was in that locker room who came on these airwaves and said point blank, like, man, I'm not a good coach. You're not a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Barnes was on here
when
we were going, and he said, I didn't think he did a good job with us.
Yeah.
And he didn't say, like, in a malicious way, like, hating, like, a good guy or whatever. I don't have a problem with him, but just didn't do a good job. Now, that team was in a different position than this Kings team.
Right.
You know what I mean? And had a little more leeway to have that type of outlook on Mike Brown. But I think Mike Brown is a good coach, a good basketball mind. I'm just putting it out there. He might not be good enough as a head coach for a long term. You know what I mean? Maybe he comes in there and, you know, he has all this energy and things work out for a little while and then it runs stale a little bit.
I feel more like maybe he has a hard time getting through the players. Because was it Mike's not a good head coach, or he can't relate to those guys, like
could
the
be
Kobe's, the Matt Barnes, you know, that group that won a championship, right? That had won championships. Their expectation were championships, nothing else. And I guess that's where, you know, that's where if you're a team in that situation, you know right away, whether it's Kobe or Pat or whoever, you know quickly, he's not it.
Mm.
You know, we need a guy who can, you know, get the two of us in our best position, but we also need a guy who can get something out of the other 9 guys on this roster, or 10 guys on this roster. And it's tough. Like it's head scratching, but the bottom line reality to it is they went from 48 wins to 46 wins to a first round exit in the playoffs to an exit in the play-in to what has to have been considered a disastrous start to the season.
But before we go, we can talk about it when we come back too, is like something had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something had to happen. You know, something just it had to happen.
Yeah.
Not maybe Mike, but whether it was a GM being fired, coach player being traded, like one of your top guys being traded, or Mike being fired, something had to happen. And anybody that says Monty should have been fired, newsflash, Mike Brown was probably going to be fired 12 months later. Because the new GM, or he's at the very least, Mike Brown will be on the hot seat in this time next year. Because what have we talked about for I don't know how long? The GM and the needs to hire his own head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you can find
now Monty. The Kings, by the way, have put themselves in a position to allow that to happen, which is the unfortunate part of all of this. And we'll continue to talk about it. 916-909-1320. Troy, hang tight 1 second. We'll get you first out the break. Stephen with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, let's get to these phone lines, 916-909-1320. We'll start with our man, Troy. Troy, appreciate you for holding so long. What's on your mind, bro?
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, fellas. Happy New Year's. I just want to tell Coach Brown thank you, man. You know, thank you for bringing us out of the dark, you know what I'm saying, giving us a little bit of the light to beam kind of flavor, you know. And you're not from Sac until Sac do you wrong, so welcome to Sac, Coach Brown.
There you go, Troy. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, 916-909-1320, if you want to get in here. I mean, I hate, you know, learning everything about how Mike Brown's firing was handled. I think that's the thing that has been the most frustrating about this. I think more than anything else, that is what sparked the reactions from Michael Malone, Steve Kerr, and those different guys, from all accounts, Mike's dismissal from the Sacramento Kings, of course, everyone is well aware of the story now. He conducts practice, conducts his media session. He's on his way to fly to L.A. He gets fired over the phone, and in all indications are it's about a minute-long conversation. Mm. And that was that. From different things that I've heard, Monty called Mike while Wes was trying to flag down the likes of De'Aaron, who I think he talked to, DeMar. I think the only person he didn't talk to was Domas. So they tried to call Domas. Domas didn't answer the phone. I guess he was sick, and he wasn't even with the team at that point. He didn't fly to L.A. till the next day, yeah. As everybody is aware of, because of his pregame media availability.
Yeah.
So,
no, that sucks. Just simple as that. That sucks. I thought about it in, like, after, because one of the days we were talking, and James I was, you know, asking a question like, what would you have done? He said he probably would have done the same thing, but I would have handled it a little differently. I think it's Ramona's article about it. She lays out the timeline of, like, why, what happened, and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks. It sucks. But one of the things that couldn't happen was, if you were going to fire him, he couldn't coach that game. He couldn't coach that game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And if maybe you chase down the car, or you don't let the plane leave or something like that, so you can do it in person, maybe, or something like that. But if you had decided that we're gonna fire him, he can't coach that game. And I know James had talked about, well,
yeah,
let him coach the game and then come back and do it on Sunday. He can't coach the game.
Well, no. This was at, like, we went on the air at 2 o'clock.
No,
so that means practice had to have ended. Like, when James was still at the facility,
right?
What was happening at noon that allowed you guys not to come to the conclusion that Mike doesn't need to get in the car and drive to the airport?
I don't know.
This is why people look at ownership as the issue. It's like, this looks like a circus. Whether it's whether it's Monty's call, or Wes's call, or the collective's call, or Vivek's call, again, there's a certain point where, you know, Mike, whether it's substitutions, whether it's this, whether it's that, it's, yeah, you're the head coach, Mike. You hold this. Mm-hmm. You wear this. Whether Monty and or Wes have tried to land Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, this player, that with Carl Anthony Towns, this player, that player, whatever. Monty McNair, you're the general manager. That's the title. You wear the heat. Mm-hmm. When the organization as a whole looks bad, Vivek, you wear that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Vivek has to wear this. Whether it's basketball people making basketball decisions or not, Vivek has to wear this. And the way that this all was conducted, I don't even know. Last week, mm-hmm. It was awful.
I don't understand, like, what is going on. This also, like, confuses me about, like, just like rich people, because I'm looking at the timeline.
Well, you would know.
No, because I'm not rich. That's why I don't understand this. It goes in Ramona's article. They say this is
a big rich town. My bad. That's my bad. My bad.
Sorry, we got Truth. I'm opening up Truth.
Jamie St. Caraway over here.
It says when they talked about blowing the lead against Detroit and all this other stuff, and it says, quote, and when they all got in touch late Thursday night, it was resolved to sleep on it and talk again in the morning. That call began as the team was starting its film session. Did the team start its film session at 5 a.m.? Wake your ass up and figure out what you're going to do. Like, what do you mean the call started again? When they started the film session, that had to be about 9, 10 o'clock. Wake up at 6, 7 o'clock. Have this conversation.
The thing about sleep on it is very simple. Clearly, you felt some way the night before. You felt some way after the Detroit game.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You want to make this decision? All right. Sleep on it.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up doesn't entail another meeting. Do you still, okay, did you cool down a little bit or do you still want to fire him? I cooled down a little bit. Let's move forward. Let's try to get this thing done.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. No, I still want to fire him. Well, call him. Go call him into the office. Go grab him. Pull him out of practice. He's over there meeting with De'Aaron on Abraham Zapruder Cunningham is filming the video and his tweet was, this is going to be dissected. And I'm watching the whole video and I'm like, oh, they're talking. There's not really animated. It's just like a normal coach player interaction, but like, okay. And like 20 minutes later, Shams tweets, Mike's gone.
Do you think Mike had any inkling that was going to happen?
Yeah. I think Mike at the very least knew there were conversations about his job security.
I think so too.
Losing five straight sucks. Mm-hmm. You lost five straight at home.
Mm.
At home. Man, that's tough.
Like
multiple games to the Los Angeles Lakers.
So to dive in a little bit more. So it's like after they lost to Detroit, he's like, man, I'm probably going to lose my job. And he goes out there and he says what he says. In that moment when he's talking to De'Aaron Fox and when he's talking to the media in practice, do you think he had gotten tipped off or knew they're talking about my job right now?
When he talked to
De'Aaron Fox. Because the De'Aaron Fox video was, it stood out. I don't want to say it was weird or anything like that, but it was an interaction that looked like it stood out a little bit. I don't think he was like, yo, they're about to fire me, because the way De'Aaron walks off like it was just like, oh, we just had a quick chat. Like, he didn't dap him up, goodbye, or nothing like that. But it did stick out. I think there was a reason why it was put out there. Not like nothing nefarious, but it was like, oh, all right.
Well, Sean caught it, which is what Sean does. Like, he caught it, he zoomed in on it, and he stayed with it.
Right.
Like, that wasn't the Kings, that was Sean.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you saw that interaction, it looked like, oh, that's
after the night before. I didn't think it was anything.
Maybe I put two and two together. You listen to his media scrum session,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I just feel like somebody had told him something. Whether he had a friend in the organization that was like, hey, brother. They're having talks right now. They haven't decided anything.
Well, Mike's also been in the game a long time. I think whether he knew that the talks were happening, he knew that the talks were happening.
True, true. I just think about like the thing, because you're talking about, oh yeah, you find out who's really with you. You know what I mean? You find out who's really with you and who's in the foxhole with you and who will turn on you in a quick second. It's like, okay, we just asked you about it. Keegan Murray available to play. That's all we asked you.
916-909-1320, host of the Chatty House After Party. Manny, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? Happy New Year to y'all.
Happy New Year,
appreciate
my guy.
Y'all getting on Friday, man. Y'all were dope, so that was really dope.
No, man, thank you. By the way, guys, I'm working on it. I'm not saying it from a place of perfection. I'm working on it. It is New Year, singular, no S.
Also, you got till Friday. We're cutting this thing off Monday. No more Happy New Year.
Okay.
What's up with you, man?
Let me ask you a question about the whole Friday thing real quick. Like, do you guys think that this was a conversation? Obviously, speculation until you hear otherwise. But do you guys think that it was just a quick conversation of, hey, that's it, you know, move on? Or do you guys think that it was a conversation like, look, Mike, he delegates a lot of his stuff to a lot of the assistant coaches, right? And do you think there was any kind of discussion where they asked him to do something? He basically was like, no, I'm not changing anything. And then that was what became of their, okay, well, if you're not going to budge, then you got to go. Like, do you guys think there was any kind of discussion with Mike on trying to work something out? It just didn't work.
Yeah,
you
Manny.
Know what I'm saying?
Little S starter.
What do you have in mind?
Well, it could have been, because a lot of times you'll see stuff where, like, and this happens more in football, right? Where coaches, when they know their head's on the chopping block, maybe they change a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, or something, because that's kind of like management says, well, somebody got to, you know, there's got to be a starting point to this. So get rid of this dude. Let's see what happens, or something like that. You know, where they asked him to maybe get rid of an assistant.
We hear you, Manny. We hear you, Manny. By all accounts, Mike was either asked to fire Mike or Jay, or Mike and Jay. I've gotten Luke. Mm. Luke, Mike was asked to fire Luke and Jay, or Luke or Jay. I've gotten messages that said both. I don't know which one is reality, but somehow Luke Louts and Jay Triano are tied to this. I guess Mike not being willing to do it, you fire him and you keep them on board because you know you're promoting Doug Christie and you need a experienced staff with you, mm-hmm. with him as the head coach. But I'm not sure that whole thing is bizarre to me.
That is bizarre. You probably know a little bit better than I would, but I don't see that, and I don't know why, if you wanted one of them out of there, why they just wouldn't go with Mike. Obviously, there's a staff that still needs to be put together, but you bring up some of these G League assistant coaches. Like, mm-hmm. you can find assistant coaches if you really wanted those guys out that bad that you gave Mike an ultimatum. Like, I don't know why you would want him out that bad, and then when he says no, you fire Mike and you keep them around.
But you might not have given him an ultimatum. You might have just said, hey, we need to make a change here, and these guys got to go. And Mike just goes no, and you reconvene later, and it's like, well, we'll just get rid of Mike.
I understand. But if you thought
it's not a one or the other as it's presented to Mike, Mike right. made the decision that I'm not moving on from these guys.
But if you presented them as such a problem in the first place, why are you keeping them around?
My only guess is you feel like you need an experienced staff to be along with Doug Christie. Hmm. Which also, what are Jay and Luke thinking? Hmm. Because they still work for the same people. Mm-hmm. Mike's gone, but Monty, Wes, whoever, the collective, is still their boss.
Right.
And you know they wanted you out.
So, so you're right.
Thank you.
What would you, how you think some of them players might feel when, I'm just saying a hypothetical, Mike wanted you out. Mike tried to get you out. And the front office said no. And now you know everything that happened. And you still got to listen to this guy talk about, let's bring it together, guys. Let's come together. You look at him crazy.
Hmm.
Like, it's the same thing. I don't think people think about it the same way because it's a player. Because what you're saying is, like, kind of crazy, too. Not what you're saying is crazy, but the thought of, man, these guys wanted to fire me. I'm still here. I still got to work for these guys, even though my guy's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a wild thought. Like, how do you work through with your job that way? Think about it as a player to coach. Coach wanted player A traded. Mm-hmm. Went to the front office, said, yo, we got to get him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
Player A finds out, and front office like, nah, we're not leaving. You got to stay and deal with it. Player A now still got to answer to the guy that wanted him gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess.
No, that's 100%. I'm with you completely on that.
Yeah, and it's just a mess. It's a mess. And sometimes people will be in those situations and they'll just work through it. And be like, all right, it's whatever. And sometimes people harbor resentment.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Jay and Luke, it could just be something as simple as, look, we won't make this work for Doug. Like, it's in everybody's best mm-hmm. interest for this team to be successful. I mean, we know how close, at least it certainly appears, that Luke and De'Aaron are. Like, these guys are going to – look, I'm going to we're going to make this successful for you guys. Mm-hmm. My checks are still going to clear. I don't even have to interact with those guys. Like, we're here, and we're gonna execute DC's vision, and we're gonna try to get this team back to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
that's tough. But sometimes trauma can do that, right? And the trauma of this season, and I'm not trying to use that word lightly, but you know, Mike being fired, that, you know, regardless of what your mindset is tomorrow night versus Memphis and whatever your mindset is for the next, you know, 40-something, 50 games, whatever it is, in the back of your mind, you know, I'm probably moving again. Mm. When this season's over, mm-hmm. I'm probably moving. And your wife's asking you about it, your significant others, your kid, like whatever, like there's, you're having other conversations that no longer pertain to just basketball and, you know, why your team can't hit a three anymore, which, by the way, they didn't last night. They couldn't shoot for nothing last night, but they won. Mm-hmm. And that was some stuff that we talked about earlier this season where, God, the three's not falling, but man, they've been in all of these games, you know, at the time it was a big discussion. They were like 2-2. They'd only hit threes, I think, in one of those games. So, it's a lot. It's just a lot that weighs on your mind. James brought it up a couple weeks ago where the number of players who are involved in trade conversations, Kevin, Trey, Keon, whoever, like, could that affect their play? Yeah, like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the greatest examples, I think, in history is that Kobe Lakers team when all that Bulls stuff was going on. Mm-hmm. And that Bulls team died when the rumors started, because
yeah.
They all thought they were being traded. They all thought they were going to L.A. They thought they were going to be part of the biggest news story in sports. That team died until that nonsense was over. Mm-hmm. And it's not unfair to think that stuff affects these guys at all.
And it the way things went down really, really sucks. And it's really unfortunate, because regardless of what I think or anybody thinks about Mike Brown as a head coach or all his missteps or whatever, by all intents and purposes, he seems to be a stand-up guy. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a great guy, and he doesn't deserve to be disrespected in that manner. And that's not cool. That's not okay. And for, like, because I know the big talking point right now with a lot of people is the press conference. And me personally, I don't really care, but I understand why people want that press conference, why they want those questions answered to get more clarity and all this other stuff. Because there's a way you go about things. And from every step of this, it doesn't seem like they've gone about this the right way. And it's just not cool. It's not okay.
But it's done. And, you know, now it's like, what now? What now? We've got Doug Christie, who's 2-1 as the Sacramento Kings head coach. And basically, Doug has coached three times since we've last been on the air. Lost that game to the Lakers, where they really did just kind of look lifeless against that team. Now, there's a lot of...
I thought they looked fine. I thought that third
against
quarter...
Against the Lakers?
Yeah, I thought the third quarter was crazy.
I didn't think they looked good against the Lakers.
I thought there was energy. I thought there was... They were trying to fight through some stuff. They had just lost their coach or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was energy. I thought the third quarter got completely out of control, and that's where they looked a little lifeless.
Yeah.
But they battled. Got it to – they were down, what, 20-something, and then got it to six with about 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
I thought I saw a lot of light. You're not the only one. I'm, like, the only one that kind of saw it that way. Everybody else was like, they looked the same, or they looked – you know, they didn't look like they had it. I feel like I saw something in that Lakers game.
To be fair, that's fine. To be fair, I didn't think going in that was going to be, okay, this is going to be the big rallying moment. Mm-hmm. It's like, nah, like Doug found out, like, on his way to the airplane.
Yeah.
Like, that's he hasn't even coached a practice.
Right.
He hadn't even got to address his team.
Right.
Like, he probably had a, you know, these guys have routines. Maybe they talked on the plane. Maybe they talked on the bus to the hotel. Like, they probably didn't have a lot of time to talk. Shoot around, you want these guys to just be in their routine. My hope was the Dallas game. Mm. that was like, all right, you know, this five going to probably become six, but man, don't let it become seven. Cause,
well, how that game started off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Goodness. Absolutely.
Like, what in the world? But, and I can't even say it's different because I feel like they showed toughness with Mike Brown in a lot of games. You know, they came back in a lot of games with Mike Brown. So I don't know if it's necessarily a difference, but there was a level of toughness that we talked about mentally, emotionally in the Dallas game to come back from what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw it again last night as well. I just look at it. Sometimes it's like, and I bet Mike was thinking this, a lot of guys, man, if we could just, get a win to just calm things down.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get the win.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it feels like the world is crashing down on you and everything is the worst. And if you just get a win, if you are just able to beat Indiana, you know, get a win, calm down, let's get back on our, you know, on our winning ways. Unfortunately, they just weren't able to get that win against or within the last few days of Mike Brown. And I thought, I say that to say, I think that's what helped them more than anything. Getting the win against Dallas. It helped them moving forward, even getting that win last night. Now, catch your breath. Mm-hmm. Start to feel good about yourself a little bit because this team in the media, on Twitter, with the fans, they've been getting their ass beat for the better part of the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
People talking about how much they suck, how much they don't care, all this other stuff. Like, they've been having to deal with it and get a win. Just get better vibes around you a little bit. It might be able to go a long way.
I thought the picture was brilliant.
That was really cool.
I don't know whose idea that was, Doug's or someone else's. I thought the picture in front of the beam with you had to find him, but DeMar had the crown last night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Doug's speech.
Yeah.
That was wow. He said this.
We can't play it.
He said,
but.
Yeah, he said, you guys are the light of this city. It means something to these people.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's not from here, but that's spoken like somebody that's from here.
He's around here enough. Like he's. I mean, his time here, and then all of the. You know, he came back. This is what Doug came back for. Mm-hmm. Doug did not come back to be on the radio. He did not come back to be a color analyst. Doug Christie came back to Sacramento to be a coach, and he has gotten that opportunity. And now, no matter how difficult the circumstances. He's gotten the opportunity to be a head coach, and I think Doug's going to take advantage of that. You can't change how the opportunity is presented to you, and you shouldn't even remotely focus on that. He opened up his first media availability and said, man, just first thank you to Mike, and okay, now you move on.
Yep.
And your focus now is entirely on the Sacramento Kings.
A lot of talk when – Doug's name first started coming around was when Luke got fired, and that was just a mess of a situation. I've heard James talk about how it's like, man, that's whoever takes over isn't going to last. Like, don't take the job, and I understand that. And there was also a lot of thought that Doug wasn't ready to be a head coach at that time, and I understand that too. I think he's ready now.
I think Doug had been a coach for 17 games. Wasn't that his first year?
Mm-hmm. His first year. I think he's ready now. He's ready. I definitely believe he's going to take advantage of this opportunity.
But you know what? Even if he's not, like, he has a runway of 50 games to get ready. Like, Joe Mazzulla was not ready to be a head coach.
Right.
Joe was like...
what was that, 2 weeks?
Joe was like he was...
That was like into training.
He was like
that happened right before.
He was like the fourth coach,
right?
At one point, like
barely on the first row.
I don't know that he was on the first row because it was
might have been second 1 year.
So he moved up because Will left. The Kara left.
About to be in the first row that year.
Yes,
he was about to be on the
front. Because Will never been there. Will before. Took the yeah. Will took the is it Utah job?
Utah, yeah.
So Will's in Utah. Kara had left for Duke. I think Kara and Joe started at the same time.
Mm.
Now all of a sudden, this guy who Jason Tatum's like, that's the best coach I've ever played for. Not Brad, but this other guy. It's the best coach I've ever played for. Well. Remember the, remember a couple years? Yeah, the second row guy? Well, he's your head coach now.
Right.
And guess what? Like, he won a title. Mm-hmm. He figured it out. He has a unique way of leading the Boston Celtics that seems to work for them. Doug is going to have an opportunity that Joe didn't, mm-hmm. and it's to figure out how to lead these guys.
I know we got to get out of here, but it's unpopular for right now because a lot of people are down on the Kings and everything that has to do with the Kings.
Two straight wins.
I think Doug is, I think he's going to do really good things here.
I'm with you. And something happened while we were away.
Mm.
Well, a lot happened while we were away.
Yeah, kind of bearing the lead there, pal. Yeah.
Well, we were sleeping.
Well, something happened in the G League while we were away. And rumors are that might translate till tomorrow night. Mm. There's other rumors out there, too. We'll talk about it. Steelo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Because I'm a pizza guy. Man. Makes me sad. Shout out to our guy, Leezy, if he's still watching or listening, man. Leezy cooked the last 2 weeks.
Shout out, Leezy.
And he recognized the moment we were in. And he went to that. He went to those two impromptu live streams that we did. And, you know, pulled reels from them and mm-hmm. got them on, you know, station shows, personal pages. Like, he worked his ass off over the break. So, Leezy, yes. If you're still out there, appreciate you.
So, we got into something during the break about the lack of a press conference for Mike Brown, or media scrum for Mike Brown's departure, firing. And I said, I don't have, like, it doesn't matter to me. I understand why it's a problem. I understand why it's a problem. And so Kieran Monty's firing, who.
What's his name?
Who, whatever. We just don't see things eye to eye because he's always talking crazy about me. But he's talking about KC sounding out of touch and Dr. David saying that sounds like Fox. And all I'm telling you is.
So. Did you repeat what you said during the commercial break? For
I said I understand why it's problematic, and it says more
not having a press conference.
Not having a press conference, it says more to the issues. And I'll even say what I've been saying about this team: lack of leadership in the organization. Not having a press conference, stand up there and have the questions. But if the Kings win 21 of their next 30 games. That people are going to not go to the games no more. It's securing the beam, securing the money's firing. Is he, the Kings make the playoffs. It's 60. You not going to watch the games? You not going to support because this team didn't have a press conference? It's about winning. That's what it's about. That's what it's always about here.
Mm-hmm.
It's about winning. If you don't have the press conference, if you do have the press conference and you still suck, you're not getting points for that. Now you've got to do it anyway. I agree with all you guys. You've got to do it anyway. Even if you're giving canned answers or all this other, you have to do it. I'm not saying it's the right move. I'm telling you, I don't care because I know what the big picture is. But I'm not saying like, it's just okay that they don't do it. No, I'm not saying that. Like, you got to at least have some type of media scrum or something and stand there. You talked about accountability, take accountability, answer the questions, all this other stuff. But if they never have the press conference, which it looks like they probably won't.
Yeah.
And they.
There's really no point in doing it now.
No. And they end up being the fifth seed. The city going to be down on the team because they didn't have a press conference.
No. But again, it's taking accountability. The argument I was making is it's no different than players and coaches going to the podium after games. Mm-hmm. It's no different.
Mm-hmm. And even with that, like. They got to do it. They got to do it. And De'Aaron got roasted for his response after Detroit.
As he should. That was trash. It was trash.
He should have answered it. But
he didn't even have to. He could have given it a generic answer. He bailed on the question, which was trash.
I understand. All I'm saying is, like me, but I look at all this stuff differently, right? Like than maybe most. I don't care. Did you do it or did you not? I don't need to know why. Did you execute or did you not execute? I saw that you didn't execute. All right, we lost. Tyrese Halliburton talks for days and is so eloquent with how he talks. When he's making us money and making 11 points on a night where they lose by 20, it don't matter. It doesn't matter what he says. Once again, I know I'm in the minority when I feel that way. It doesn't matter, though. Did you win or did you lose? Did you handle business or did you not? In this case, it does. It matters in this organization, like how you're perceived and stuff like that. I get that. But for me personally, you're going to find a way to win 9 of the next 12 like Philly just did or not? If you're not, like, if you lose 9 of the next 12 and you have a press conference, that don't make me feel better.
So I guess what's weird for me in this conversation is just a minute ago you talked about Doug's speech on that video out at the heart of the beam, whatever, mm-hmm. wherever they were, and how valuable that is. Sometimes talking does have value.
The only people they need to talk to is the people in that locker room. Because I can feel as good as I want about that video. If they lose 9-12, it means nothing. It means nothing. Yeah, it felt great. They won yesterday. It felt great. That's great. But if they don't, the video that we talk about, if they we loved it so much, it was a vibe and all this other stuff, if they go on another six-game losing streak, we're not talking about
it. What
do
we do every day?
We talk. We talk about the things that we see it in the way that we see it. We're able to talk about...
Isn't that exactly what we're asking them to do?
It's part of their job to do it. So I understand it. But their ultimate like,
but everything doesn't have to be this, like, from a big picture perspective. Hey, Darren, what happened on that final play? I fell asleep. I was too far off Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
Closed out too fast and fouled him. That's the end. It took less energy for me to say that than it took for him to say, oh, it doesn't matter. No, bro, you're being a child. Just own up to the fact you messed up. That's it.
All I'm saying, and for some people it does. I was going to ask the question, him owning up, does it make anybody feel better about losing to the Pistons that way?
It's not about feeling better. It's exactly what I said the day after. This isn't about feeling better.
What does it
do? It's not about feeling worse about something.
What does it do, though?
Shows accountability, no?
Accountability is making sure it don't happen again.
But no, there's a you game. There's a way you got to play this. Though I feel like in the league, like that, what you're saying isn't necessarily wrong. But like, there's a reason why these guys go to the podium and they talk and all that. Like, you just got to show accountability. Like, good franchises, and their players do that too.
He has to do it. Monty and Vivek have to have the press conference. Like you said, they probably won't now, but they have to have it. That's part of the game.
But that's the end of it. Like, there's no big grand. But if they win the championship, it doesn't matter. No, that's not the point. We're talking about now. We're not talking about May if they're in the playoffs or June if that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about now. If February 8th, 9th, whatever the trade deadline day is, comes and goes, and the Kings are exactly the same, you don't want to hear from anybody?
To answer your question, people talk about accountability. The only people De'Aaron needs to be accountable to are the people in the locker room. I know we think, like, be accountable to the fans so we can hear it. That don't matter. Because how about this? If he's accountable to the fans and he don't take up ownership in the locker room, that's not going to work either.
But you're separating everything as if you can't do one without the other.
I didn't say you can't. I'm telling you what matters. If he's accountable to his teammates.
No one's questioning whether that stuff matters.
People, you guys said it matters. It matters. No. Like, have accountability. Say it in the press. You don't need to say that. We saw what happened. I don't need De'Aaron Fox to tell me what happened to know what happened in that situation.
Then just throw the do-rag on and leave him in the locker room. Then there's no point in having him out there. But this falls into what I was talking about the other day. The type of leadership this team needs, that man doesn't have. He is not capable. I'm not going to ask the man to be something he's not. He loves to tell everybody he doesn't scream and yell and he doesn't pound his chest and he doesn't do all of that stuff. That's fine. I see my man ERB asking, D'Lo, you still want De'Aaron gone? I don't want De'Aaron gone. That's not what I said. What I said is you can trade him. That's what I said. Because I'm at the point with De'Aaron, regardless of what I think about this roster, De'Aaron Fox-led basketball team is a 45-win team to 48-win team. That's what they are. And at some point, I'm starting to look at him as him part of the reason why.
That's fair. And all I've said with all of this is him going up there and taking accountability in a press conference, it just like it's not the thing that's necessary is taking accountability in the locker room.
But that has nothing to do with anything.
What does him at a press conference have to do with anything?
It's what everybody does. But what does it have to do in your job description? It's literally what everybody does.
Do you think it plays into organizational culture and stuff like that? That guys are coming and just kind of like, yeah, I messed up. Got to be better. Not like all these, like there's teams that do it. Do you think it plays into any of that stuff? Or are they just going up to the press conferences just because they have to or whatever? Does it tie into anything?
Well, I think the majority of them are going to press conference because they have to. Nobody's willingly doing it, but they do it.
I don't have any question that De'Aaron leads far more in that locker room than any of us realize. I have zero question about that. Mm. You're the face of the franchise. Just go out there and be the face of the franchise. If you don't want it, then fine. Malik is the pizza guy. Let him be the face of the franchise. Just stop cutting these cheesy ass commercials. Let him be the.
And all I'm saying is,
let Domas do it.
If
Domas hates talking to everybody.
If the roster, if everybody in that locker room on what was that last Thursday or Wednesday or whatever the case may be, it's like they don't bother us that he said that. That's what matters. If they got a problem with, hey, because Fox isn't talking, now I got to talk and I got to answer these questions, and it creates a rift that way, then yeah, we got a problem. He's got to deal with
but
that.
But it's not the same because Fox didn't not talk. I just thought his answer was trash.
I don't disagree with that. I'm telling you, it's not important.
How do we talk about Fox's leadership then if it's like,
you like, don't. We don't There's see nothing it then. To yeah. talk about.
Or, if we don't see it.
No. It's not us. He doesn't have to be a leader to us. He doesn't even have to show leadership to us if he's doing it in the locker room.
Yeah, if this isn't and that's perfectly fine if this is a 25-9 team. That's perfectly fine. Okay. But it's not.
Okay, so if he shows us leadership and they're still the same record,
then we're not questioning it. Then we're not questioning his leadership.
Why not? They're not winning. They're not. What is he leading? If he comes out and talks and says all the things that he wants us to say.
Let me ask you this, because I get we can't do this without defending every freaking thing De'Aaron Fox does. So let's try this. Have you ever at any point questioned whether he gave a crap about the game he was playing in?
Yeah, at any point, yes.
Multiple times throughout the year. Not once. Not where you're like, oh man, De'Aaron looks out of it.
Throughout this year, no. I'm talking about in his career.
Yeah, in his career. Let's not do the career. Let's do the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Because mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to play either if I had some of his teammates. I ain't never gonna fault him for that.
Draymond had Sacramento Kings fans united over the over the weekend. Remember when he cursed out Buddy?
Oh! Yeah. Yeah. You know where I saw it? You know, so I saw it on Miss P.
Oh, yeah, Miss P. She had a good old time with that one.
I should have went over and checked Brian Cruz's story, see what he was talking about. Oh, them Buddy haters was... Oh, they was Draymond Green P1s that day, boy. P1s. They was Draymond Green fans that day.